He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart, out of his inner being, out of his spirit, will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified.
Hello everyone, this is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing is part of a series that's entitled Pentecost. The church was empowered on the day of Pentecost with the Spirit of God. The promise of Pentecost is a perpetual promise, one that is good for all believers. Today, I want to challenge you to seek the promise of the Father. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part two of The Purpose.
There are at least four, that we identify, four purposes of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we don't even talk about. We talk about tongues. We talk about the initial physical evidence, which I believe that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll speak in tongues. I believe that. But we major on that. We forget about the other four. Number one, we've talked about a little bit, and I just want to go over it. Number one is for empowering the believer for the work of the ministry. For empowering the believer for the work of the ministry. We see that clearly in the promise. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power to do what? Power to do your own thing? Power to make you happy? No. Power so that you'll be a witness. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Number one purpose for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power, and that power is to be a witness, to empower you. Clearly, receiving power for the promotion of the gospel is its primary purpose. That's the primary purpose of this experience. God offers believers, we get so stupid on this as Pentecostals. We're the ones that have all the power. You Baptist folks, you Methodist folks, you don't have any power. That's not true, by the way. Because if that's true, you got to talk to Billy Graham about that. See, it's additional. All these you're going to find in our purpose. And if our pastors in the Assemblies of God would just preach our doctrine that is based on the Word of God, you would have more clarity in our pews. Because, see, you have to explain that to people who have soul winners that are out there just wiping it up out there, and we're sitting here arguing about and fussing about and worried about how worship services go when they're out there winning people to Jesus. It's incredible. Believers are offered additional power to accomplish this mission. Now, here's the thing. If there's power available, why wouldn't we want that power? That's the question we really need to ask, though. If there's additional power for us to witness, then why would we not seek that power? Why would we not seek what God makes available to us through a promise? If these men were already referring to the 120 on the day of Pentecost, because remember, there's 120 of them by that time, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. If that power was available to 120 and they received that power, why wouldn't we want that same power? Why wouldn't we want to have that same experience? Why does the body of Christ try to fulfill the Great Commission without all the power that is available to it? There was once a clergy member from China, and this was years and years ago, it's an old story, and it's tied to a missionary, I can't even remember all the details, took a tour of the United States, took a tour of the churches, finally was asked by the missionary who brought him, what do you think about the churches in America? And he just remarked how great Americans can do church, basically, what great things they can do without the Holy Spirit. What great things we can do without the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can go into a church that is anti-Holy Spirit. What I mean is this. They're anti the baptism of the Holy Spirit, anti the promises, anti the power. The Holy Spirit is a thing. He's a third member, watered down version of God, no longer spoken about, not even encountered, whatever. But you can walk into their services and they look as live as a Pentecostal service. I'm just saying this, there's power available, and it's true power, spiritual power. When you receive power, there's change that takes place. There's radical change that takes place. And I believe there's people who are born again, who love God, who are called to ministry, but they operate in their own power, and they do great things for the kingdom of God, but it's a limited power. And there are some people that are born again, they receive power, but there's still power that is available. And why would we not want all that God has for us to minister if it's available? If it's available in a promise and an experience. We have an opportunity in our community to define Pentecost the way it should be, biblically. Amen? See, I think people will respond, not to fanaticism. It has its day. Do you understand what I'm saying? Emotionalism has its day. That doesn't mean we can't have an emotional experience. I'm not saying that, because God's made us spiritual and he's made us emotionally too. But what I'm saying is, if all we have is emotions, it's going to fall flat on its face one day. And then someone's going to want something that's real, spirit and truth. Amen? I believe we have a perfect opportunity to define Pentecost to our community. Redefine it. So we have all this power that's available to us. Why wouldn't we want to receive power to reach lost people? Number two, the second purpose. There is an overflowing fullness of the Spirit. Look at John 7:37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Verse 38, "He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart, out of his inner being, out of his spirit, will flow rivers of living water." Verse 39, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And I believe Jesus is alluding to this experience that we see occurring in Acts. So what does it mean to experience an overflowing fullness of the Spirit? Because that sounds great, but what does that mean now? And we define that in our doctrine, but what does that mean? Because it sounds fancy, but when you think about it, what does that mean? There are fillings, I believe, and there are refillings of the Spirit throughout Scripture. There are people that are filled, and there are people that have received, and there are people that are filled again. When we are saved, we receive the Holy Spirit, correct? All right, we receive the Holy Spirit. Everyone who's born again receives the Holy Spirit. Listen, if there's not an additional need, why would there be a promise subsequent? Are you following me? If they had everything they need, if there wasn't something additional, if there wasn't something more, then again, why would Jesus say, wait until Jerusalem? And I made this point last week. And if you say, well, that's the only occurrence, you're going to have a problem, right? Because I illustrated one, and there are three more that we can go into. We just don't have time to do that today. So if the experience of being born again is enough, then why are there other examples and experiences? I believe that we receive the Holy Spirit, but there's still this need to be filled, and there's this need to be remain filled. Are you following me? Some of you can testify, you know when you're filled, and you know when you're empty. And when you're empty, it's never good, isn't it? Because you get all fleshly. So I believe that when we're saved, we receive the Holy Spirit, but there's an encounter of we can receive more. And we are not filled until we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make us better. Please hear me throughout this message. It does not make us better. It makes us participants in all that God has promised for us. I don't know about you, I want everything that he has promised for me. So with that said, I don't believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all of the Spirit that we can experience as well. I don't believe when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's done. Hey, that's it. There's a lot of Pentecostals feel that way. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm filled. That's it. No, Bubba, you got to remain filled. You got to remain filled. And I believe the counsel of Scripture promotes that position of being filled and being filled and staying filled. So that means refilled, correct? If I take this water and I dump it out and this represents my life, a spiritual life, and I pour it out, but God calls me to be full, and I believe not even full, but overflowing, then it's going to take a refill, correct? So guess what? I think we need to be refilled, amen? We need to be full of the Spirit of God. I believe the full counsel of God's Word points that. On the day of Pentecost, the followers of Jesus were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke with other tongues and as the Spirit enabled them. But that was the time they were filled, and we get that. So if there's other occurrences where it says they're filled, then that should catch our attention, correct? Because if they were filled, then why would they need to be refilled? Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they're meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, if you aren't familiar with the context of that verse, it's where Peter and John were arrested for healing the man at the Gate Beautiful. Do you remember that? And they were brought before the Sanhedrin, and they were questioned to give an account of their actions. And then Peter, it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, even at that point, filled with the Spirit, addresses the religious leaders. And they're amazed. They're amazed because they know these men are fishermen from Galilee who walk with Jesus. And it's even noted that they noted these men had been with Jesus. They're uneducated men. And what that means is they're uneducated in the law. But they were able to share their faith convincingly from the Scriptures in an authoritative manner. Why is that? Because they were full of the Spirit of God. But yet when they come back and they're released, they give this convincing stance on their faith. They're released. They come back to the church and they rejoice. And the church was shaken, it says. And then they were filled with the Spirit. Some would argue this is filling. It's not a refilling, but instead it's part of the original filling that they were filled. But when you look at the Greek, it's very clear that when filling takes place, it doesn't just speak of a filling that has taken place, but a perpetual filling. And so if that's the way you agree, if that's the way you feel, I humbly disagree. Because when you look at the original language, when you put it into context, you understand that we're not only just filled, but we should be remain filled. And again, to remain filled means that you can lose whatever that you have, or you can just be depleted spiritually. How many of you have ever been depleted spiritually? So what do you need? You need to be filled. You need to be filled. Great example. We talked about this Wednesday night. The kingdom of God is likened to 10 virgins. 5 of them proved to be wise. 5 of them proved to be not so wise. 5 of them were prepared, had oil in their vessels. 5 of them were not prepared. And when we went through that parable, the ultimate meaning is to remain prepared. But the secondary meanings that you can find out throughout that parable is this: they didn't have enough oil in their lamps. They didn't have enough oil in their vessels. And if we look at the Word of God, throughout the Word of God, the oil is always symbolic of what? The Holy Spirit. It's always symbolic of the Holy Spirit or the anointing in the Old Testament. And so obviously the lesson is readiness, but also this: they were not ready because they didn't have their vessels full of oil. If you don't have oil in a lamp, that fire is going to burn out. If you don't feed a fire in your life, it's going to go out. And you can't feed it with fanaticism. You can't feed it with emotion. You've simply got to feed it the oil of your with the Spirit of God. You have to feed your soul, your spirit, with the Spirit of God. There's times where we get so ragged, we run ourselves ragged, that we run ourselves dry. And then we can't understand why we react in the flesh or why God feels a million miles away. See, we get so full of stuff, full of emotions, that we have no place for God. Can I tell you this? You have to maintain your relationship with God. I know that goes counter against our culture in some places. But if you get dry, you're responsible. But if you don't want to receive, you're not going to receive. You cannot serve God or mammon, correct? You can't serve God in your situations. You can't serve God in your problems. See, one can't become bigger than the other. You know, sometimes we can't receive from God because we got too much going on that we just can't receive. Our focus, our faith is on all this other stuff. I don't believe in once filled, always filled. In order to be refilled with the Spirit, one must have been filled with the Spirit. And I believe that the initial filling of the Spirit occurs when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we should be filled with the Spirit, and we should seek to stay filled with the Spirit. Number 3. There's a deepened reverence for God. There's a deepened reverence for God. Some people within our fellowship don't even mention this one. Don't even cover this. And they make the baptism of the Holy Spirit so one-dimensional, it looks kooky sometimes because of the way we define it. The purposes of the baptism of the Holy Spirit are multidimensional, and with it comes a reverence for God, a deepened reverence for God. Listen, that doesn't mean we're the most reverent people. Do you see what that... Again, like I said, straight out of our doctrine, just as a deepened reverence for God.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message today. If you've not received the promise of the Father, seek the Lord Jesus for this promise. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a home church, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, May God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.